My guest this week is Ryan Vincent, the co-founder and CEO of the number one rated mineral management software company located here in Fort Worth, Texas. On this episode of Healthy Conversations, we get into the early years at Mineralware, how they have nailed the employee experience, and the importance of nutrition. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or leave us a rating. Thanks.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.
Ryan, thanks for coming on Healthy Conversations.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right on in. I'd love to hear a little bit about Mineralware and what you guys have been up to.
Absolutely. Well, Mineralware, we started Mineralware in April of 2014, just celebrated our 5th year anniversary.
Awesome.
It's a mineral management asset platform. It was the first of its kind in the oil and gas space, really just to help mineral owners better understand what they own and just help them better manage their assets.
Interesting. I noticed on your LinkedIn that it started with 5 M's. Was that a different venture that started before Mineralware, or is Mineralware just like a rebranding of that? I was curious there.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when we started the company, 5 M's Minerals Management, that's an acronym for managed minerals means more money.
Yeah, I like it.
So we really got into this business to do A to Z mineral management. So we'd manage their minerals, the whole nine yards, from accepting the checks, negotiating the leases, doing everything on the consulting side as we're building out our software product. And we quickly realized that the true value was in the software that we were creating and not as much in the consulting services. Yeah. And so we rebranded to Mineralware. Now, 5M's Minerals Management is still the parent company, but Mineralware is the software product and really everything that we do at 5M's.
Gotcha. Makes total sense. To jump back a little bit, you worked at a few other similar companies, maybe not in the tech space, but in oil and gas and mineral management. How did those experiences help shape and help, I guess, get you going in what you're doing now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I went to school at Texas Tech, studied to be a landman, energy commerce degree. And so I worked at different oil and gas operators for about 7 or 8 years. So I got that experience from, working at those companies and, kind of growing up in Midland, Texas, I was exposed to minerals and the oil and gas space. And my family has some teeny tiny interests that are spread around several counties. And I kind of grew up sawing the way that, they manage their minerals, and there really wasn't any management.
A giant nap
It's a term, mailbox money. And so they would just sign leases as they came in, really didn't look at any maps or anything. And so that's what really kind of got me really interested in this space.
Interesting. I mean, I was reading an interview you did a couple years ago, I think in 2016. So you started the company at the height of the oil and gas market in 14. What was that experience like? I mean, once prices started dropping, I mean, did you guys experience that, or were you just focused on building out a tech company at that point?
Yeah. So it was interesting. In 2014, prices were over $100 a barrel in April of 2014 when we started. We hired our first full-time landman, Ben Heinzelman, in October of 2014. He kind of took a leap of faith on us. Honestly, he was over at a company called PetEx and really saw the vision and what we were going to build. And, right when he started, I think oil was $105 a barrel or something like that. And it quickly took a nosedive. And so here we are, we started this company with 40 grand and that was a loan. And so as prices started to drop, it was scary there for a short time period. But what we found out was that, you know, our clients, they needed a way to increase their revenues. You know, as the prices were dropping, they wanted to figure out a way to manage their assets in more kind of in a proactive manner. And so what we found is that, you know, Mineralware was not as cyclical as some of the other companies in the oil and gas space. So what we found is this trend is that our clients, you know, our client count kept increasing over time, even as prices began to drop. And, you know, they went from 100 to 90 to 80 to 70 to 60 to 50, all the way down to, I think, $29 a barrel at that time. And so, you know, and then also, you know, it's the value add that we're bringing to the table, but also, you know, we do have to set up our client's account. So there's a setup fee involved. So they do have a commitment as well.
Interesting. I mean, as far as managing minerals and whatnot and people wanting to maximize the money they're getting, how do you guys help do that? I guess I'm missing a piece there. I understand the platform and kind of how it works there, but I think it'd be interesting to go into how your software helps people accomplish that.
Absolutely. So there's a couple different ways. So we have two modules. We have a land module, and then we also have a revenue module. So our land module is the maps. It's, you know, all their document integration. It's the well data, the production data. So from a land module standpoint, how it helps them increase their revenues. One example would be if they're negotiating a lease, our land module has the map with the well data overlay. So it makes it very efficient from a management standpoint to look at a specific tract that they get a lease offer in and to see what the wells are, to see what the permits are in the area and see what the production is. So that really helps them leverage to get, you know, better lease terms and to figure out who's actually the operators that are drilling in that area. You know, we also have some other data sets in our product that tell the owners what the lease rates are going for in the various counties that they have interest in. So, and then on the revenue side, you know, on the revenue side, our revenue model basically takes in, it digests, you know, all of the revenue data and it puts it in a format to where they can easily understand, you know, what their revenues are, what their deductions are, what their taxes are. You know, it also, the system also identifies wells that our clients aren't getting paid on, you know. So we had a client not too long ago, and it's public, they put out a testimonial for us, the Permian Basin Area Foundation. Within the first 3 months of them signing up, we found over $150,000 in suspense. And so, and that really, you know, happens all the time. And that can be.
You have all these rights that you have no real visibility in.
Exactly. And, you know, I think you know, the assets get transferred to the next generation, there's a lot that can be kind of lost. For example, you know, there can be an affidavit of heirship that wasn't filed at the county. There could be the division order that you didn't sign that didn't get sent back to the oil company. So there's really hundreds of reasons why that oil companies can throw these funds in suspense. And they really just don't have the administrative help to go out and, you know, find these mineral owners.
Yeah.
And so it really, it's, makes sense. You know, that duty really belongs to the mineral owners to manage it like a business.
Yeah, makes total sense. I think it'd be interesting to go into what's it been like starting a tech company here in Fort Worth. I know definitely back in 2011 when I graduated, there weren't a lot of companies like this. So I imagine it might have been pretty similar to that, even in 2014. What's that experience been 5 years into it? Is it hard to recruit talent? Things like that, I think, would be interesting for people to hear.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Matt. I mean, it's honestly a dream for me to start a tech company here in Fort Worth. To be honest with you, the good Lord has blessed us in more ways than we deserve. And so I think as far as, you know, a tech company specifically in Fort Worth, you know, we're very fortunate to be in Fort Worth in the oil and gas space and specifically technology. You know, there's a lot of oil and gas talent that just it sticks around Fort Worth and they don't leave. You know, even if they lose their job, I think you'll find a lot of times that they don't want to move to Midland.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to move to Houston or Denver. And so as a result, you know, they stay here in Fort Worth. So we've just got this great pool of talent, at least from the oil and gas standpoint. And then you talk about new hires. I mean, we're so fortunate just to have TCU in our backyard.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, I mean, a lot smarter than I was when I was in college, I'll tell you that. And then from a developer standpoint, you know, we've got UTA in Arlington, and we've got, you know, we've got some good developers over at TCU. And then I think, you know, really Dallas-Fort Worth is really under the radar as far as tech companies are concerned. I think there's a lot more tech companies than most people know of. And so from a talent pool perspective, you know, we're really able to kind of tap in and to the developers that are in the DFW area.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. I mean, one of the things that has come up over the past 10, 12 episodes that we've done on this show is culture, the employee experience, things like that, how you think about experience marketing and how culture drives performance. How do you think about that, given that you're really in growth mode, you've gotten 5 years, the company is operating smoothly. Like, how do you guys think about that 5 years into your experience?
Well, I mean, the culture of Mineralware is really number one, and I think I would lump in the kind of the employee experience in with company culture. You know, company culture, it encompasses so much. It's really the personality of our company. It's the foundation of everything that we've built. It really includes a variety of elements, from our work environment, from our office space, our core focus, our core values, our expectations, our goals, the type of people that we hire and retain. I mean, if you look at it, my number one responsibility as CEO is to lead and guide and direct an attractive culture, one that really attracts, stimulates, grows, and retains our team. And that really started in the early days of
Mineralware. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, how quickly did you put pen to paper on a mission statement, a culture, any of those things? Like, was it 2 years in? Was it a year in? I think that'd be interesting to hear.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, that's kind of developed over time. You know, in fact, we went through an exercise about 6 months ago to kind of redefine our core focus. We call our mission statement our core focus statement.
Gotcha.
And also our core values, because, you know, companies evolve and they change.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, you know, we started as a full A to Z mineral management platform. And, you know, now we're kind of focused strictly on software. So we've really rebranded everything. And so we're really excited about the future of our new core focus and our core values. But, you know, in the early days, I mean, you talk about the employee experience. I mean, we only had $40,000 to start this company.
So we have a big budget.
we were just, you know, trying to keep the lights on, to be honest with you. But it was very important to me because, you know, I'm still in that millennial class, although I think a lot of the guys at our company will tell you I'm an old man.
Yeah, but you're an elder millennial, like that Netflix show.
That's right. But it was really important to me to create a culture that our team would be proud of, you know, and one that they would want to bring their friends by the office, and one that they would want to bring their family by. And so we really started that. You know, we opened up our first office space at the oil and gas commerce building across the street, and so that's important from kind of an office environment standpoint.
Yeah.
And then from a tool standpoint, you know, I remember you know, I think I had $3,500 budget to get furniture for the office, and I went to IKEA in Dallas, and I found the cheapest stand-up desk that I could find. And you know, we just wanted to be able to provide the right tools for our team to get the job done.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it looks like you made the most of it. And the new offices are beautiful, by the way. I mean, did you guys go through that experience around redefining your culture around the same time you moved? Did that play into it, or just happen to be around the same time?
That just really happened to be around the same time as moving into our space. But it's more about, really, we wanted to define our core values after, you know, what our core focus was. And our core focus statement is to empower our clients through innovative software solutions and excellent service. And so the excellent service part is really so important to us. And in fact, it's so important to us, we wanted to infuse our core values with that in the organization. So our core values are branded after serve. You know, and core values, of course, the S is for service, the E is for excellence, the R is for relationships, the V is for virtues, and the E is for enthusiasm. So really, you know, service to us is not only serving each other, it's serving our clients, it's serving our vendors. And excellence is the type of people that we look for, the type of people that are hungry, they want to get better and, you know, in their career, they want to get better and grow personally. The R for relationships is so important. And just like service, that's not only relationships that we have with each other, that's relationships that we have with our clients, that's relationships that we have with our vendors.
Yeah.
And then the V's for virtues, and that's really the integrity. And that's the first thing that we look for when we hire somebody is just their level of integrity. And that's just something that they have to work at Mineralware. And like I said, the first thing, and including in virtues, is transparency and humility, which are huge for us as well. And then the last E is for enthusiasm. And that's probably my favorite of the group. And that's your attitude. You know, my grandfather, his favorite saying, it's so simple but so true. It's got to be, it's up to me. You know, and your attitude is something that you can change at a whim at any given moment. And I think a lot of times that you'll find the most successful people in the world aren't actually the smartest, but they are the people that are optimistic and the people that have the best attitude.
Absolutely. I mean, you hit on it a bunch there, but it was talking about the values and how those go into recruiting talent, retaining talent. I mean, what have been some of the biggest challenges on that front 5 years into it? Is it difficult to recruit, or, I mean, with places like TCU and UTA and things like that, it sounds like it's not too difficult, but I think it'd be interesting to hear kind of how you guys think about that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, you know, it usually takes us quite a bit longer to find the right person. But, you know, we've only had one person leave in 5 years, and that's because that person was moving back to Midland. And so, you know, and our culture is so critical and what we do. And so it really takes quite a bit longer to find the right person. But when we find them, you know, we've done a really solid job at retaining them. And part of that is through, you know, our, as I mentioned, culture really involves so many different things, right? And so one of those things that we do, and this is constantly evolving, is kind of some of the perks that we have at our company. You know, we want to keep that evolving over time. And so we have a lot of things that we do around the office. You know, we're sitting here recording this podcast in our lounge, which, you know, we got a golden tee over there, and, you know, we keep two taps on over here at the beer keg. And, you know, one of those taps is for the tech team. The other one, the business team gets to pick out. So what surprised me the most when we opened this lounge a couple months ago is the tech team, the developers, shut down about 4:30, come up here and grab a beer and play some golden tee.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But there's a lot of things that we do, and, you know, And that's really, as I mentioned before, I think my number one responsibility is to create this culture and make it one that's attractive for our folks to be able to, you know, to go back to your question, to be able to attract talent and recruit. And so we have a goal, a 2020 goal, to be the number one company to work for in Fort Worth. And, you know, we qualified for last year. We're very proud of the fact we were in the top 10 our first year being in. And so our goal for next year is to be number one, you know, and our motto is, if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, Ricky
and
Bobby.
And so one of the things that we're doing, you know, we just had our quarterly meeting yesterday, and this is a box that sits in our break room,
yeah,
and the folks, you know, are able to put in suggestions on how we can achieve that goal,
okay,
and be the best company to work for in Fort Worth. So we're doing a lot of new things. I think we had 9 suggestions in this box, and we're incorporating 7 of those suggestions.
Okay.
So I told the team yesterday during the meeting, I said, hey, we're actually listening to you.
Yeah.
And in fact, we're, you know, including 7 of your suggestions and our new perks immediately. One of those new perks is Free Friday. So once a month, they have basically one Friday a month, they can work from home, and they only have to work a half day. The other half day is off.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The other one that we're doing is they get to work basically from home, from Christmas all the way to New Year's. So although it's not an extra week of vacation,
yeah,
you know, they do kind of
feels like it.
Yeah, yeah, it feels like it. And yeah, if they're in the mountains and visiting their family, they can, yeah, ski during the day, work at night, or kind of pick out their work hours. And the last another one that we're doing, I think, is going to be really fun. We're doing, it's called Mineral Wear of Fortune. So we're getting this wheel created, and it's going to have all of our team's names on it. So we're going to have a happy hour once a month. We're going to spin the wheel. The first 4 names that are chosen will go to lunch together, and then they have the rest of the day off. And
like
we just think it's really important to, you know, get to know your team members on a personal level as well.
I think it'd be interesting to go into what's been probably the biggest surprise in running a business for 5 years. I think that'd be interesting to go into.
Absolutely, without a doubt. That's our team. You know, it's, what's the biggest surprise to me isn't the talent of our team, but the biggest surprise to me, how powerful an impact it has on our organization when you can have your entire team growing at the same time in,
yeah,
the same direction. And I think that's really been, you know, looking back, the biggest surprise to me, how big of impact your team can have on your company.
Yeah. When did you really start to experience or feel that? Was that like, I mean, I guess for probably the first 2-3 years, you're just trying to survive. I mean, or did it happen pretty quickly, pretty early on?
Yeah, I think we've seen a bigger impact as we've grown and the,
yeah,
team's kind of grown. I think that's always kind of a challenge to scale your company. And so, you know, in the early days, it's a lot easier to control, right? Because it's just only a few of you and you're,
yeah,
usually on the same page, right? But I think, you know, as our company started to scale, it's become a little bit more challenging. And I think, you know, always going back to the culture, you know, I think if you get the culture right, that's really,
yeah,
your foundation.
Absolutely.
And you get that foundation right, you know, everything's downhill from there. So it's, you know, I think it is a challenge, but again, I think the critical component is getting the culture right.
Very cool. We can wrap up with a few rapid fire questions. If you were right out of college and didn't have a ton of money to start a company, would you work in oil and gas, or is there something else you might be interested in doing? I heard this on another podcast and really liked this question.
Yeah, that's a great question, Matt. You know, specifically, I would look in the technology space, specifically in minerals. You know, we're still just the tip of the iceberg in this space. There's a lot of upside in the space. I think if I was right out of college and got into this space, I'd team up with a developer,
yeah,
and just focus on a niche specifically in the mineral space. And, you know, I would develop it off of cash flows as long as I possibly could before,
yeah,
I had to bring in an investor.
Yeah, makes total sense. Have you been reading, watching, listening to anything good?
Here recently, I just bought a book by Dr. Esselstein. It's the book is called How to Prevent and How to Reverse Heart Disease. You know, my dad just had a heart attack 3 weeks ago, and that really kind of got me interested in, you know, what,
absolutely,
causes, you know, heart attacks and heart disease. And, you know, I think if you look at in America, the number one killer is heart disease, and number two is cancer. And I think, you know, there's a lot of countries out there where heart disease is unheard of. And so I think if you look at it, and Dr. Esselstein talks a lot about how critical nutrition is.
Yeah.
You know, and to the impact of heart disease. And I think it's just America's infatuation with fat and, you know, and fats and a lot of things that we eat, from meat to avocados to oils to all kinds of things. And what's really interesting in this book is how powerful nutrition is. In fact, that, you know, it's proven that folks that are in the later stages of heart disease have been able to reverse the blockage in their arteries from just diet alone.
Yeah,
that's really powerful.
I saw a cartoon on LinkedIn that pretty much summed up American healthcare. It was a long line of people for prescription and surgeries, and then like nobody next door on under nutrition. And I thought that pretty much encapsulated what you're hitting on, the general theme of this podcast and healthcare in general in this country. So
absolutely. And the last, I guess the second thing is, you know, I'm kind of on a Jack Welch kick,
okay.
You know, and he's got a book out I've just purchased recently is Winning. My biggest takeaway from Jack Welch is how big of impact that candor can have on an organization, and that being transparency.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest takeaway from Jack Welch.
Awesome. We can wrap up with this one. Really enjoyed this question. What is something you believe in that few others do?
This would have to be you are what you eat. You know, I think, you know, I don't know that a lot of folks really believe in that. You know,
yeah.
I think we're kind of brainwashed in America, and you know, that's such a critical component to your health. And you know, I think, you know, I look at nutrition as medicine. You know, and I think a lot of the things that diseases and various things that happen to people, I think it starts back years and decades ago, just how you take care of yourself. And I think that's so critical and, you know, and important to your health is nutrition.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, and definitely have some improvement my own self on that front. But awesome. Well, Ryan, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt. Really enjoyed it.
Hi, everyone. It's Matt. Thanks again for tuning into Healthy Conversations. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, or write a quick review. If you really loved it, share the episode on social media. It really helps our iTunes ranking. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.